It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. I'm here today with Audrey Stack. She's my clinic director. And occasionally she and I get together to do a topical show, something about a disease condition or something that's going on in the world. And today the show is about the COVID vaccine. The vaccine is currently, well, first of all, Audrey, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So the COVID vaccine is available, and several thousand people have got vaccinations already. I'm not sure exactly when the show is going to play, but hopefully this is going to be within 3 or 4 days of us recording this. And I myself got vaccinated yesterday, and so I wanted to talk about what, you know, the background of vaccinations, why they're important, what they do, what the you know, usefulness of them is, and how this particular, these two vaccines are working, the two ones that are on the market right now that are being administered. And then also to talk about some of the practicalities of how you actually get a vaccine. And when the time comes for people to be qualified to be able to get the vaccine, to have their turn come up, what's involved with this. And let me just say that Audrey has been on the phones for really the last 2 days, helping patients navigate the system, which has not been easy. And hopefully by the time this hits the airwaves, a lot of these kinks will have been worked out. But let's wait till the end of the show to talk about that part. Let's start off by talking about the big picture of vaccines. So let me just start off by saying vaccines, really what the purpose of doing this vaccine is to prevent us from getting COVID and dying from COVID. That's really what it amounts to. And if we get enough people with immunity, then the COVID quits spreading. It won't spread anymore. The occasional person may have it for a while, but everyone around them has it, or everyone around them has antibodies against COVID, and it just can't spread. Even if there's somebody cross town who hasn't had a vaccine or didn't get COVID, there's too much distance between those two people, the one who has it and the one who doesn't have it, and so it just doesn't spread. And it may spread in some ways far away and keep little pockets going of it, but here in Alaska or here in the United States, it'll die out. And that is the objective.
Do you think we'll get full eradication?
No, it's not going to eradicate. It can't. I mean, you think about these diseases that we have vaccines for, measles, mumps, rubella, none of them are eradicated. They just become rare. They hardly ever show up. When they show up, it's like, wow, I haven't seen that in a long time or ever. Like diphtheria. I've never seen a case of diphtheria in my entire life. And, you know, I see patients every day. So it's, you know, every, you know, working day. So it's something that just went to the background. Mostly, though, the diseases aren't eradicated off the planet Earth. They still hang around in little pockets with some rare exceptions. Smallpox has been eradicated. The vaccines were effective enough, it basically took it off the planet. You can't get smallpox anymore. Polio is almost eradicated. There's just a handful of cases that pop up every year, and we're working hard to finish, get rid of those last little few stragglers.
Africa was eradicated just this year.
Yeah, so you can't get polio in Africa anymore. I mean, there's some definite advantages to doing vaccines. The objective is not to eradicate COVID from the planet. That would be nice if we could. The immediate objective is to eradicate COVID so people quit dying from it and so we can go back to our lives. We've really, it's taken a hit on us financially. It's taken a hit on us psychologically. It's really taken a hit on us, you know, in the quality of our lives. I mean, duh, we all know this. And so it's important to do everything we can to end the pandemic. And this is a way to do it. I mean, it's not the only way, but it's the safest way and the way that results in the fewest deaths. Okay, so let me talk about the actual vaccines, the ones that are available right now. And Audrey, you chime in whenever you have a question.
Well,
Because honestly, this show is more your idea than was mine.
Right. Let's start with what is this vaccine? Technically, what's in it and what is it doing?
Okay. So let me tell you, before I answer that question, let me just say, generally speaking, what happens with vaccines is something gets introduced into our bloodstream, some sort of protein, some sort of piece of the virus or bacteria or a dead one or a damaged one or something like that. And it's enough material for our immune system to get a reaction and start making antibodies against it. That's what we're trying to do. Make antibodies. That's the objective. With those antibodies, the antibodies have a certain shape to them and they attach to the protein and then they wave a little flag and say, boop, 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 here it is. And the white blood cells come and eat that little protein, send out a signal, a cytokine signal. They get the immune system working and the antibody making cells get brought online. They get lined up and they start pumping out antibody and there's no chance for that particular organism to cause any illness for us or take our cells over because our immune system can find them and kill them. Find and kill, find and kill.
Before they get a foothold.
Yep, before they get a foothold. So what happens when you get a vaccine is your immune system becomes sensitized. So when the COVID shows up, your white blood cells know exactly what to do. The antibody attaches to the live virus and white blood cells move in and they eat it up and kill it and activate your immune system to do the same thing. And you didn't even know. You just literally don't know. You're just going through your day, you know, writing emails and eating pizza, and you just literally don't know what your immune system's doing. That is lovely. Some people do that anyways. They get live COVID virus, and their immune system is so efficient, it just takes care of it.
Oh, so these are asymptomatic
people. These are the asymptomatic people. It all happens quietly. Nobody knows. Occasionally, things go awry, and people's immune system overreacts. This is what's killing people. It's not the virus itself. It's the overreaction of the immune system. So if we could somehow figure out how to get an immune reaction that generates antibodies without getting the overreaction, we're golden. Now, there's COVID. Basically, we can get rid of it in our society, put it so far in the background that we have a chance of eradicating it from the planet if we so desire and put our time and attention to it, or it just smolders a case or two here and there. I can give you some examples. Well, let me give you just one example. The virus that caused the great flu pandemic at the beginning of the last century, it's still in the air. It's still on the planet Earth. It's called H1N1, and occasionally it pops up and occasionally kills people still, but not that many. And it's not so bad that it shuts down our society. You know, it sucks if you get it, but it for most people, it's not deadly. Well, COVID's going to do the same thing. For most people, it's not deadly. It's going to go to the background and not be a problem. We'll not be carrying this around with us and changing our behavior based on it. That's the objective we're trying to get to. So let me get to the actual question. What is this vaccination? Now, this vaccination, first of all, let's recognize something that's amazing. It came online so fast. World record time for a vaccine, from figuring out what the protein sequence is to actually having a vaccine that's available for the public. This is amazing. And here's the reason why. Is instead of having to make proteins or modify virus or do something like that, what they did, this is clever as heck, by the way. What they did is they came up with this little piece of protein called messenger RNA that tells the cells how to make this antibody. So instead of having to set up a big factory that's going to, you know, it takes tons of money and lots of chemistry to make these proteins to be able to inject into people, all they had to do is make this little teeny slip, just a little line of instruction. It's almost like sending an email to your cell saying, make this. And so now they didn't have to build the factory. They all had to do make this little thing, which was way easy to make, instead of making this big, giant protein thing, which was way hard to make. And so it went quickly. Notice the two vaccines that came out first in the race of who can come up with the vaccines the quickest were both messenger RNA.
So there's other types of vaccines out there that just haven't made them yet.
Yes, there are. There are vaccines that are in the works right now. All the different kinds of vaccines that there can be are. So they are all getting made. And it makes sense because, heaven forbid, if the first vaccine didn't work, the messenger RNA for some reason went south and didn't do what we wanted it to do, there'd be a backup of a more traditional vaccine. So they, in fact, did build that big factory that makes those proteins that can inject inside our body and elicit a reaction. So, and they eventually will. It'll come online. You know, they're in phase three trials right now doing it. But in the meantime, we got this other vaccine that works amazingly well. If it worked 50% of the time, they probably would have went ahead with it if the side effects were low. And in this case, it didn't work 50% of the time. It works 95% of the time. Now, that's not always. There are a few people who get the vaccine who get COVID still. But you know, if you get a handful, it's not going to spread like wildfire. As long as the immunity in the population is generally high, it won't spread. The people who could get it are too far apart from one another. And so, boom, it goes down.
So let's go back to where we left off, where this email system. So how does that actually work? How do we get this messenger RNA to make the antibodies?
Now, it turns out we have these things called ribosomes in our cells that are just waiting for this stuff to show up. If it shows up, boom, they kick in the gear and start cranking the stuff out. That's what they do. They're just waiting for the messenger RNA to show up. Yeah, now, that's the rub. How does the messenger RNA show up? If we want them to make stuff to anti-COVID, somehow we got to get that messenger RNA molecule. It's tiny, by the way, into the cells. Now, if we take messenger RNA by itself and simply stick it in a syringe and squirt it into someone's bloodstream, it breaks down. It's made of proteins. They jiggle around, they fall apart, and it's just a mess of protein. I mean, it just doesn't do anything.
It's not harmful.
It's not harmful. It's not helpful. It's fuel. You'll burn it for calories. or I guess you could make proteins out of it, but it's not going to do what we want it to do. Nah, the trick is protecting it so it doesn't fall apart, and getting it whole into the cell. And this is where they were clever. I just got to hand it to the manufacturers. They're fabulously clever. They came up with a little blob of fat, and they put the messenger RNA inside of this fat blob, and now it's protected. Now it doesn't get broken down. Now the other molecules and the water molecules and all the jiggling goes on doesn't break it, and it stays intact. Except for there's one other problem. The fat blob won't go inside of cells. So what they did with the fat blob is they coated it with this stuff that allows it to slip right into cells. It's what the cell membranes are made up of already. They're called phosphatidylcholine. It's a little derivative of phosphatidylcholine. It's not exactly. They make it's a little better than the regular stuff. This, by the way, phosphatidylcholine, you can buy at the grocery store. It's called lecithin. And it's, you know, it's commonly available, and it's actually healthy for you. So they put a tiny little drop of this stuff, this lecithin phosphatidylcholine stuff, around the fat blob, and now it gets in your bloodstream, it goes around and whoop, slips right into your cells, and the ones that can make the antibodies start cranking them out.
So I can't imagine they inject you with enough of these for every one of your cells.
They don't need to. They get enough in there, and what it does is it gets the machinery going, and you get a general reaction to it. Now, the trick of this is not getting such a strong reaction that you get sick from it. So here's the rub. Some people get a more of a reaction than other people, and those people, when they get a vaccine, are going to feel sick. And we know this. We know exactly what the rates are.
Flu-y sick?
Yeah, flu-y sick. Exactly. Flu-y sick. What they get is they get tired, and they may get achy, and they may just kind of feel blah. Headache is another one that pops up. So it turns out about half the people who get the vaccine get this kind of, you know, meh feeling.
So is it like go to the doctor?
No.
Or take a nap?
This is like, I don't feel really great. It's not enough for most people to even stay home. Chances are most people are just going to go to work and just, you know, drink some water, and they're going to feel okay. Occasionally people will get a stronger reaction and get sick enough to actually stay home. Those are rare. It turns out to be, you know, a couple of, maybe 5%, 3%, 2%. Depends on how you slice or dice it in terms
and
of
so
what the symptoms are.
Those sick people would stay home like they had the flu for a day or two.
Yeah, and they don't die. That's the bottom line. Even if they have what's known as a severe reaction, this is really what we're talking about, they don't die. Now, the worst reactions that people can get are anaphylactic reactions.
But that's an allergic reaction.
That's an allergic reaction.
Is that a different type of reaction?
It is. That's a different. That's
different mechanism.
Yep, different mechanism. That's an allergic reaction. That's your immune system reacting to something in a different way, except for really what it does is gives you this shock. And the shock can lower your blood pressure enough where it can actually kill you. Now, mostly it doesn't. What people do, first of all, let me back it up and say, there are some people who are just more prone to reacting to stuff than other people.
Like peanuts?
Yeah, and they know that. A lot of them know it because they react to peanuts, or they react to shellfish, or they react to bee stings, or stuff like that. Hey, I'm one of those people. I've went in anaphylaxis twice, and I didn't like it. It was unpleasant.
What caused it?
This is going to sound really crazy. Okay, this is Fairbanks. I'm talking from Fairbanks. It was one of them was mosquitoes. I got bit.
Wow.
What a bummer of a thing to have an anaphylactic shock to mosquito bites. Seriously, I had I'm over this now because I got treated for it. But at one point, if I got stung more than about 20 times, I'd go into anaphylaxis. One wouldn't do it. If I got stung 5 or 10 times, I'd get sick. And I would get like a mild anaphylactic, a mild reaction, and I'd have to stay home. It'd be like getting the flu. And if I got stung 20 times, basically the more bites I got, the more reaction I got. And I got so bad, I couldn't see. I literally couldn't see. Like, I opened my eyes, I didn't see it. It was just black. I lost, you know, bowel function and had to vomit and just went into this thing all the way. Thank goodness I had a friend who was a doctor who rushed me to the hospital. And, you know, I came out okay.
So what do they do for you at the hospital?
Actually, I never made it to the hospital. I came out of it. It took 45 minutes to drive to the hospital. By the time I was back in town, I was, you know, I'm going to say I was okay, but I was back sitting up and I could see and I could breathe the whole time.
So there wasn't much a hospital could do for you
at that point. Nah, I was wrung out is what I was. Now, I kind of want to make this whole show about my anaphylactic reaction.
But what can a hospital do? I've heard that people carry EpiPens.
Yeah, well, they'll give you an epinephrine, and that shuts down the reaction is what it does. It saves your life. So that's people who are prone to this usually will carry an EpiPen with them. Now, I've also got anaphylaxis from wasp sting. I got stung, and then about a month later, I got stung again. And it's interesting because if you get one sting, I'm okay, one sting. I don't go in anaphylaxis, one sting. It's the second sting that gets me, and it elicits a stronger reaction. It's kind of like the shots.
I was going to say, that's exactly how they do it,
That's what they're doing, right? They give you one shot, which elicits a reaction, and then you get some degree of immunity to COVID, by the way, just with the one shot. And then you get the second shot, and that's what brings you up solid and strong against COVID. The first one... This is not widely known, but the success rate for the first shot is close to about 90% in terms of protecting you from COVID.
So the second shot brings you the last 5%?
The second shot brings you the last 5%, and really what it seems to do more than anything, we don't know this because not enough time has passed, but it's speculated based on the overall picture and the antibodies and the other ways of looking at it that it's going to elicit longer-term protection. Now, we don't know how long-term it is because the research hasn't been that long. We haven't had enough time go, and we'll see in time how long the protection is. But it's to elicit a more robust protection, the second shot. So, I mean, I don't want to open this whole thing up in debate whether the first shot would be enough and whether it would be enough to shut the COVID down. It might be, but who wants to guess at that kind of thing? We'd rather just do the two shots. The people doing this thing say it needs two shots. And they're right. They know better than I do.
So just like with your wasp sting, is the second shot more likely to elicit a secondary reaction?
No. Oddly enough, and this has been clear. I went through all the research on this one and looked at it, and the answer is no. The chance of getting some sort of reaction, any kind of reaction whatsoever, is around 80%. But vast majority of these reactions are super mild. I'll give you an example. It's pretty common for people to get a sore arm, like where you get the shot, and then the next day your arm's kind of sore.
This is other vaccines as well.
Yeah, all vaccines are this way. Pretty much this is across the board. This is not unique to the COVID vaccine. This is just vaccines in general. You're getting an immune reaction, so it kind of hurts the next day. And so I got my vaccine yesterday, and I didn't even notice any pain whatsoever until I was asked. And somebody said, Dr. Luber, does your arm hurt? And then I rubbed it, and I, yeah. Now that you mention it, it does kind of hurt.
I think on the pain scale, that's a one.
Where I didn't even notice it at all. I was going to say, no, nah, doesn't hurt a bit, but then, no, it there. What? There it is. Like that. The thing about it was funny about this for me, I don't know if funny is the right word, but interesting was since I do have a history of anaphylaxis, I got watched. They have a plan for this. You go in, you get a shot, and then they watch you for 30 minutes and see if you're going to have a reaction. So I went over to the waiting area, and I sat, and I was ready just to wait. But then there was other people in the waiting area, so I decided to go and chat them up. And the conversation was like this. So what are you in for? The person next to me says, shellfish. I said, bee stings. It was kind of funny in our waiting area. And, you know, we just got actually a lovely time chatting with each other about all kinds of stuff. And it kept us safe. So everybody got a chance to watch us. They had a nurse practitioner kind of overseeing the whole show who's lovely. She was just a lovely lady, really, just very kind, very attentive. I felt very well taken care of.
So back to the vaccine itself. There have been a lot of stories about it. What kind of things can you speak to? Are there any sort of heavy metals or other things that people might show concern over?
Yeah, like computer chips?
Yeah.
The answer is no. Most vaccines, you have to put a little something-something in it to elicit a reaction. Just the protein by itself isn't enough to elicit a reaction. So what they do is they mix it's called an adjuvant. You mix an adjuvant in with the vaccine to elicit some immune reaction, and then you get the protection. The adjuvant, there's a bunch of different kinds of things. Some of them are little chemicals that are they find on the outside of bacteria. That'll do it. Anyways, they'll do that stuff. I'm just going to give you some examples, but it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Let me just keep it simple. The other one is aluminum. I mean, interesting enough, a tiny, tiny, tiny little speck of aluminum is enough to generate a reaction as well.
Is that a problem?
Not really. I mean, we don't like aluminum. Aluminum's not good for you, but the speck is so small and the beneficial effect is so great, it's worth it. Now, here's the good news. This messenger RNA vaccine, it doesn't have any adjuvant. It doesn't need it. It's its own adjuvant. Just the messenger RNA by its nature elicits an immune reaction because it's there to trigger the creation of these antibodies. And that's it. That's all it takes.
So there's no mercury or anything like
nothing.
That in it.
Zippo. All it has in it is a little blob of fat and this little bit of phosphatidylcholine to make it slip into cells. That's it. And they're both totally mild and safe. They don't cause any problem whatsoever.
So any reaction that people get is their own body doing its job.
People react to all kinds of stuff. You know, when they looked at the water, the salt water reaction that people got as an alternative, you know, some people got the actual vaccine. Placebo. It was a placebo. People were reacting to the placebo too. In terms of the sore arm thing, you know, a third of the people who got the salt water shot the next day had a sore arm.
Well, you poked a hole in them.
That's all it takes. You poke a hole in them, and if the conditions are right, you get a reaction. So a lot of the reactions people get from the shot is just from the shot. It has nothing to do with what's actually in the shot. By the way, I'm going to say something else about the shot. Is that it was the most painless shot I had ever gotten in my entire life. I didn't even know I got it. The lady who gave me the shot said, are you the kind of wants a warning from getting a shot? And I said, no. And then I waited for the shot. And I waited and I waited. And the minute she put a Band-Aid on me. It was like, what? I never got the shot. You forgot to give me the shot. No, she gave it to me all right. It was painless, which was information my five-year-old was very interested in. Hey, you know what? I've been talking so much and so fast that we've basically taken up most of our time. We never did do a break. So let's do a break right now, and then we'll come back with some final questions for this. Okay.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Audrey Stack, and we're talking about the COVID vaccination. So let me say something more about the COVID vaccination. That there's a question about whether, since it's a messenger RNA, that it could affect your DNA and change it. No, the answer is no. They don't even come close to one another. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't. The vaccine has nothing to do with your DNA. It doesn't affect your DNA. It doesn't touch your DNA. It doesn't change your DNA. There's nothing to do with the DNA at all whatsoever. So that's just simply not true. The other one is, does it have microchips in it so that the government can trace us? And so, no, the answer is no, it doesn't. Not even a bit. Not a speck. It just doesn't occur. It's just people are just making up stuff. It doesn't mean anything.
That would be an amazing technology. We're not there.
It doesn't exist. You can't make it even if they tried. The needle was so tiny. Anyways, it's just not happening. So let's spend the last part of our show talking about the practicalities of how to get this vaccine. This is your area of expertise. Audrey, how can people get the shot?
Right now, they are vaccinating two groups, which is healthcare workers who have direct patient contact and people over the age of 65. There is a lot of interest in getting the vaccine, and currently there are no available appointments, even if you are eligible. But as we talked about, the vaccine goes bad if it's left out, and so it has to be used up, which means that if somebody does not show up for their appointment, they have wait lists. I am not sure how to get on each individual vaccine site's wait list, but it would be something to look into.
So, for example, you could call the public health. This is where I got my shot, and say, I want to get on the wait list. And chances are they're going to
show how to do it. The pharmacies are also giving vaccines as well as the hospital. But again, no available appointments at this time. If you do have an appointment, make sure you go. Also, you will be given a second appointment while you're there. It's very important that you go to that appointment as well.
So we want to do vaccines at our clinic. We talked to Dr. Zink today about how to make that happen. We're in the works of trying to do it. There's some obstacles in the way, but hopefully we'll be able to get over them. I just want to mention that.
The state and Dr. Zink are attempting to get more vaccine sites. Alaska has been allocated about 114,000, according to their online dashboard for vaccines. And they seem to be getting them out to the public fairly quickly.
There's been some hitches in doing this. The website didn't really work that well.
Well, one of the other problems is, as far as I know, the best way to sign up for a vaccine is online, and not everybody over the age of 65 has easy access to a computer or the knowledge of how to get through that type of website. And there are resources available to help people get through to get an appointment, but there are no appointments available.
Now, I'm hoping that by the time this show airs that all the website stuff will be fixed and worked out. The thing is if you at first you don't succeed, try again. There's ways to get onto this thing. There's ways to move it forward for the people who qualify. The wait list, chances are, is going to go through pretty quick because not everybody can show up and get it. And again, if they can't use the vaccine, they're just going to have to throw it away. It doesn't keep. So it behoove you, if you want to get this done, to get on the wait list and go get the shot and then be one of those people that get it early. Alaska's been doing really well, better than most places. Even with our hitches, we're, what, fifth in the country right now for per capita vaccinations?
Yeah, for people who have already been vaccinated, we are currently first in the country for how much vaccine has been allocated per capita.
So it's a good – the chances in Alaska are better than anywhere in the U.S. for getting vaccinated.
I've asked the question, why was this? Why were we so special? And the answer I received was because of the challenges getting the vaccine to rural Alaska. They wanted to make sure that went smoothly.
Good. I'm so excited about being able to say goodbye to COVID. 2 days ago, we sat around and talked about what we're going to do once COVID is over, and we decided we're going to go to a dance. We just think it's fabulous. But let's not get too excited. It's still here with us now. You got to still wear your mask. You got to basically still keep protected. Heaven forbid you were to get a COVID and die this late in the game. Oh, that would be a tragedy. Don't let it happen. So stay safe. Keep your mask on, and then at your earliest opportunity, get your shot. By the way, once you get it, the immunity starts kicking in about 2 weeks. Two weeks after the first shot, your immunity kicks in. The second shot that you get 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, depending on which shot you get, it just basically puts that much better and gets that much more robust of a protection. But the protection starts 2 weeks after you get your shot. I know that because I went through the research and took a look at where the curves separate. Anyways, we're out of time. Audrey, thank you so much for suggesting this show and being on the show to help do this. And I want to let everybody know this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located in the Stees Medical Center right here in Fairbanks, where we treat the core of your problem. We help you to live the cure. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Stees Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.